This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. A deal on trade with the European Union.
They're agreeing to open up their countries to trade at zero tariff.
And, says President Trump, makes significant purchases of U.S. military equipment and U.S. energy. Things from the EU will still face 15% tariffs, half of what Trump was threatening originally without a deal. Since the U.S. tariffs on Canada, that country is embracing a Buy Canadian policy. At some stores, no American alcohol of any kind is on the shelves. The Gaza Emergency Relief Coordinator reports more than 100 truckloads of aid was collected today after some restrictions were lifted by the Israelis.
Fighting will stop there for 10 hours a day to allow for more aid to get to those civilians who so desperately need it. We also know the IDF has been conducting airdrops.
ABC's Ines de la Quintara, the IDF and the Prime Minister both say there is no starvation in the Gaza Strip. This is ABC News. People at a Walmart in Traverse City, Michigan, where a man stabbed 11 people yesterday, tried to stop him from stabbing more.
Multiple citizens, including one who was armed with a pistol, were confronting the male suspect in the parking lot and preventing him from harming further people and leaving.
Traverse County Sheriff Michael Shea, a 42-year-old man, is in custody. The motive? Unknown. All the victims were taken to area hospitals. For some, summer isn't summer without seeing a shooting star or two. Next best chance to see one is this week when two meteor showers peak at the same time in the early morning hours of July 30th. That's Tuesday night into Wednesday. There shouldn't be too much interference from the moon. The waxing moon will be only about a quarter full. Just get away from city lights and hope the clouds stay away. We could see a couple dozen meteors an hour under dark skies. Viewing lasts through August 12th. I'm Wayne Cabot, ABC News.
Matt and Air on Air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Joe Thomas grew up in Brookfield, Wisconsin, and had Hall of Fame football careers with the Badgers and Cleveland Browns. So what's his passion now? Well, join us Tuesday when Joe Thomas sits down with Brady Ewing and me for a special on-location show from Six Springs Farm, the home to Hall of Fame beef. Catching up with Joe Thomas, Tuesday. You're not going to want to miss it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Back-to-back losses. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers with a 7-4 loss to the Marlins at American Family Field in Milwaukee. That's back-to-back losses for the crew and their first series loss in 3.5 weeks. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Bound to happen, you know that. It's bound to happen. I've said it before, like we're an inch from the top and an inch from the bottom. So it's a very fine line. You got to come with that edge every day. And I'm not so certain we didn't, and we just didn't. Like you said, we had some things go against us. And they got some timely hits. We gave up some free bases and made some defensive miscues that we don't normally do, and it leads to runs.
NFL, hot and humid at the Packers training camp in Green Bay, where a few mistakes were made during practice. I asked linebacker Edgerrin Cooper on his advice to the rookies when they've missed an assignment.
You have to push it to the side. Just try to do what the best you could do. Keep your standard high, if you do what you need to do, all the good things are going to come.
With sports from training camp in Green Bay, I'm Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Could be a stray shower or thunderstorm overnight tonight. We'll see a low around 72. Hot and humid for Monday. Heat index pushes over 100. It'll be sunny in the afternoon. Slight chance of a shower or storm. Slight chances for storms Monday night, a low near 71.
Right now, 90 degrees. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the Wisconsin News headlines from the weekend, who may be in the running for governor next, and previewing our Tuesday show with Joe Thomas. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Matt Nair on air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Jane says. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Kevin Butenoff. All in the same place, coming to you live from our home studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Importantly, you can also call and text directly from the Civic Media app.
Ooh, I've heard about this app.
And you would like to have the app, which is absolutely free. Because today is Free Ticket Friday. Four-pack of tickets up for grabs, Milwaukee Brewers club-level seats. And these four tickets are for next Wednesday as the Brewers...
Let me just check and make sure that's
are they still
the case.
Are they still number one? It's been a day.
Yeah, well, weirder things have happened.
That's true.
So, like, yeah, they'll be taking on
the Cubs.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And right now they are one game ahead in first place.
Yes.
The crowd goes
crazy.
Mild.
It's better than a golf clap.
Yes, indeed. I enjoy that statistic. Thank you, Gregory. Yes, the Brewers are in first place, and these tickets are for next Wednesday, the 30th of July. You must be present. Well, you must be able
you
to go.
You have to be able to go.
Yeah, you can't. There's no transfers, and you got to be available to go see a wonderful baseball game in comfy seats.
Very comfy seats.
Yeah. Jane, are we going to give that word away right now?
No. I've decided to be a little cranky.
Whoa.
We're going to wait.
Jane, what happened?
We're just going to wait a little bit.
Okay. All right.
Just hang on for a little bit.
That's what I do. I respect your process.
Thank you. Yeah. We'll give you the word you need to text in. It's the super secret keyword that you can text in before 11 o'clock and get in the running for this four pack of tickets. And then there will be a different word for you during the Tom Hartman show from 11 to 2. And then Todd Albaugh from 2 to 4 and Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. So you got a whole bunch of chances to enter today.
Yes.
You already entered with Pat, hopefully.
Yes.
From 6 to 9. And then we'll give you the word just a little bit.
Just
hang on.
Just be patient.
Just a couple minutes here.
We know you can do it.
Yeah, you can. We have a busy show today.
Yes.
Dan Schaefer is going to be joining us after the 9:30 news. Shock. There was breaking news yesterday. I was kind of surprised it came down on a Thursday.
Well, I mean, honestly, Jane, really, in the world we live in now of a 24-hour news cycle, there's really no such thing, I think, as the... You know, like we've seen very well now. There's no such thing as the Friday night news dump where they get rid of all the trash.
Right.
It news breaks all day, any day. So really, when it comes to I'm not surprised it happened. But there was a massive, major announcement from Governor Tony Evers yesterday.
He is not going to be running for a third term. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about that with Dan Schaefer. I know Dan was on with Todd yesterday as this news was breaking. And then now we have two people
officially
on the Democratic side who have announced that they are going to be running. They're jumping in.
Yep.
So we're going to kick that around with Dan Schaefer coming up after 9:30. I hope you can stick around for that. Also coming up for you today on the show in hour number two. Audio sorbet
is coming
after the 10:30 news.
Oh boy.
We were in Madison. Thank you, Calvin. We were in Madison on Wednesday for our annual meeting where they beat us about the face and neck with sticks. And, couldn't find my car.
Madison now owns it.
Yeah. I left. I took an Uber back from Madison. I couldn't find my, I wandered around that parking garage for 40 minutes.
I know you did.
Cause I texted you at one point.
At one point there were many text messages.
There were a couple texts and I'm like, I can't find my car. And it was so hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm drenched.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm just going to melt into a puddle and I will die here. I'm never going to find my car.
Jane has moved into the studios of WMDX and the Civic Media headquarters.
I'll be there forever. I did ultimately find my car, but tell me I'm not the only one. Please.
Yeah.
Make me feel better.
Yeah.
That's what today's audio sorbet is essentially all about, is reassuring me that I'm not nuts. So have you ever lost your car in a parking garage or a parking lot?
Yeah.
That's coming up after 10:30 for Audio Sorbet. And we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's a boo-boo fashion edition.
Okay.
Stay tuned for that. Wanted to start off with this investigative report from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Eva Nguyen and Gina Lee Castro have the byline. The headline reads, ICE arrests in Wisconsin double under Trump. The sharpest jump involves people without criminal records. The Trump administration promised us, going into this, criminals, rapists, the worst of the worst, Greg.
Yeah.
The worst of the worst are going to be the ones that are the focus of these ICE deportations. And now they're just kind of grabbing anybody.
Yes. Yeah.
There are some very, very disturbing stories coming out about people who have the legal right to be here,
mm-hmm.
who get grabbed up in these ICE raids, and then they're disappeared for a month and a half.
Yes.
And then eventually they're released because the government made a mistake.
Yes.
This should be concerning for all of us.
This is, well, yes, it should absolutely be concerning. There's a couple of thoughts I have on this. And the first one is, as we mentioned before on earlier shows, when someone is taken incorrectly by mistake of the government, it's then up to the family to not only get them back, but to find them. So, and the government, the federal government, is really big on just sending them wherever they want now. They're not being sent back to their home countries in cases. They're being sent to El Salvador. Maybe they're being sent to that. I won't even call the nickname that prison they built. I just won't call it that.
Florida.
They're trying to make it a fun, cool thing. And this is a disgusting action. But there's that point. But also just the notion of, they, as you said, there was supposed to be the criminals. It was supposed to be the worst of the worst. And if it's okay for them, if they are okay with the matter of taking up people who are here legally,
or even going through the legal process, because that's happened too.
Yes, yes. And if they're okay with doing that, if they're okay with saying, well, we know that some people are going to be, we'll make some mistakes. What are the next mistakes that they're not going to care that much about? Because they don't care. They don't care that they've made the mistake. They're never saying, oh, we apologize to Kilmar Obrego Garcia. They never apologize to any of these individuals. It's yeah, we messed up, but too bad. We got stuff to do. My point is, that's a long-winded point, I apologize, is that this is the definition to me of a slippery slope. It starts with, we are going to deport the criminals. Okay. You've deported people who are either here legally or on their way to legal immigration status. Who's next then? Is it green card holders who just get routed out? Is it going to be people who are naturalized citizens are going to? I mean, this, and this has all happened, by the way.
And he's talked about that.
Yes.
He has talked about denaturalizing people who have been naturalized citizens.
He has talked about getting rid of just Americans he thinks are bad people who are born here. He has said those words. He's on record saying that at a press conference with Kristi Noem. As I mentioned once before, he said this sitting behind the seal of the president. I want to get rid of people who are bad and they've been born here. So the slippery slope is there and they are a part of it. And this is, honestly, this isn't surprising. These numbers aren't surprising to me. They're not. They shouldn't be to anyone.
It's not what we were promised. It's not what we were told. This is not what we were told. We're talking about an investigative report in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about ICE arrests here in Wisconsin, which have more than doubled since Donald Trump took office in January. But arrests of immigrants without criminal convictions saw the sharpest jump. The data does include still pending criminal charges for some, as well as those without any criminal record. But again, we've seen this now where people are showing up for their immigration hearings. The judge cancels the hearing. Mm-hmm. They go outside and get arrested by ICE.
Yeah.
These people are following the process we set up for them. Mm-hmm. And then we arrest them?
Jane, I just wish that these individuals would do it the right way, would do it the legal way.
And these folks are doing it the right way.
Oh, then I have no, that my argument falls flat on that. Then it's, you are innocent until presumed guilty. So even if they are on trial or if they be, they're currently being prosecuted, they do not, they are not guilty at that point. They should not be deported the moment they're found guilty. And I hate that we have to say this, but it's true. But it's the fact that nobody here is saying, let the criminals stay. Let the terrible people stay. That is kind of across the board. Everyone's like, yes, get rid of the ones who are bad actors, the ones who are criminals, we'll get rid of them. But our legal system is based on due process, and our legal system is based on innocent until proven guilty.
Yep.
And you want ICE waiting until the guilty verdict? Whatever. I'm not even a fan of that per se, just them standing around waiting. But if they're going through the process, and that includes our legal process, then they deserve to stay here. They're doing the things they were asked to do, which takes so much time. I'm reading Felipe Torres Medina's book right now.
Oh, it's incredible.
And I would never even think about trying to get a visa.
Yeah.
It's so overwhelming.
It really is an overwhelming process, and it's expensive.
Yep.
It's not free.
No.
None of this stuff comes without a price tag. The Biden administration largely focused on people convicted of violent felonies. Trump's strategies leading to a sharp arrest of undocumented immigrants without criminal backgrounds. And we can tie this back to Stephen Miller and his dictate of 3,000 arrests a day.
Mm-hmm.
Quotas in law enforcement seem to be a bad idea.
I agree. And that 3,000 arrests a day equates to 1,095,000 people a year. There are, you know, depending on who you talk to, the numbers you get, there aren't the amount of undocumented folks here. That's going to be fast, because also, like we said, they're not going to just be getting rid of undocumented folks. They're going to be getting rid of people who are here with some sort of temporary stay order, some sort of a green card, something that allows them to be here legally. But that doesn't matter to old Stevie Miller. He just wants to get rid of brown people. Let's just
essentially.
Also, he just wants to get rid of you. Brown, get out. You're not American. Sorry that you were born. Your parents were had you here. You're still an American.
Just put a little bow on this. Monday, the Department of Defense announced it had given out a massive new contract to build America's largest migrant detention camp on the Fort Bliss military base. One of the subcontractors who got this work, Nathan Albers. Mr. Albers co-owned a company that pled guilty in 2019 to a scheme to hire undocumented workers and hire them from immigration authorities. But we're going to put him as a subcontractor to build a new camp for migrant detention.
Fans,
perfectly normal.
Again, question stands. I ask it all the time. People who voted for Donald Trump, make that make sense to me. Tell me why I am crazy for even asking the questions. But it seems like to me that we are being lied to. They are doing what they want. And we're hiring and giving our tax money to guys like that, who you should hate.
Grab your phone, by the way. Open up the Civic Media app. Text in the word blue. B-L-U-E. Text in the word blue. It is our free ticket Fridays. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Mayer on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. After weeks of speculation, Governor Tony Evers has finally made his decision. He is not running for a third term. Evers has had an accomplished career as a dedicated public servant for 5 decades and has been a terrific governor for the state of Wisconsin these last 6+ years, and we should be grateful for his time in office. It's been a job well done. But all things must pass. In making this decision to step aside and not seek another term, Tony Evers is doing what he has done time and time again. He's doing the right thing. And perhaps in making this decision, Governor Evers can be the one to turn the tide on the Democratic Party's unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. In his own unassuming way, the mild-mannered former science teacher who became Wisconsin's governor can be an example to Democrats across the nation. Because we know what happens in Wisconsin politics often has ramifications that reach well beyond the state's borders.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
That sound? It's your recycling at work. And you can thank a Wisconsin woman for making it happen. Millie Zantow saw a waste sorting system in Japan during a trip in the 1970s. She came home to Prairie du Sac in Sauk County inspired. Her research led to the triangle-numbered plastic recycling system we still use today. So can you guess what percent of all the plastics produced in the United States ends up being recycled? 75%? 25%? Or 5%? The answer coming up. Zantow also helped with Wisconsin's recycling laws, along with the opening of one of the first collection centers. But now, are you surprised to learn the answer is just 5% of plastics are recycled? It's according to the group Beyond Plastic. Yet Zantow always believed you don't have to be perfect, you just have to start. There's a smart slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board. All together coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call, text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment. If you're watching on the live stream, hello everybody on the stream.
Hey, stream
on
guys,
Facebook,
and girls.
Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. By the way, if you do watch us on Twitter, if you leave comments, we can't see them.
I feel like someone said to me, now you can.
Yes.
I don't know, but like.
A lot of times it seems like, yeah, we went through a period where people who were watching on Twitter were able to leave comments, but we can't see them for some reason. So if you want to get in touch with us, Jane says at civicmedia.us. Otherwise, another easy way is to text us directly from the Civic Media app.
That's a very, very easy way to do it.
It is. And it is completely free.
I'd love to hear from the live stream people, especially when we're getting that Schaefer bump, which we are experiencing right now, because he will be joining us after the 9:30 news to talk about all the not news happening right now
in Wisconsin. Nothing happening in Wisconsin.
Nothing. We're going to be talking recipes. We're going to be talking about summertime fun times, back to school for kids. He'll be back. He'll be here talking about the big announcement from Governor Tony Evers after the 9:30 news. So stick around.
Speaking of big announcements.
Yeah.
It's Free Ticket Friday.
What?
A 4-pack of tickets is up for grabs. You have until 11 o'clock using the Civic Media app only.
Yep.
And spelling counts. Text in the word blue, B-L-U-E. Text in the word blue. You have until 11 o'clock, and you're in the running for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers Club-level tickets for next Wednesday's game against the Cubs. Hot tickets.
Yeah.
Going to be hot, hot tickets. So text in the word blue. Like I said, you have until 11 o'clock via the Civic Media app. And then you're in the running for that four pack of tickets. Tom Hartman will have a new word for you between 11 and 2. And then Todd from 2 to 4. And Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. You can enter just like Anne Marie in Brookfield or Tiffany in River Falls and Luann and Wanderoos and Beth in Appleton and Brett in Brown Deer. I just love seeing where everybody is. Maureen and Nina and Ben in Richland Center. Keep them coming in and good luck. The word to text in before 11 o'clock today via the Civic Media app is blue, B-L-U-E.
And for the record, I'm putting Wanderoos on the list of
favorite James, places we've never been.
Part three, because I don't know anything about Wanderers, but I didn't know anything about Butternut either. And Butternut is now one of my new favorite places, period.
I hear you.
So Wanderers, you are officially on the list.
On the list.
A good list.
Of favorite places we've yet to be. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but this did kind of jump out at me because Donald Trump never gets corrected in real time. Even when he's so blatantly wrong.
Yeah.
Like saying gas is down to $1.99.
Mm-hmm.
Five states, $1.99. Yeah, gas is nowhere. No. Is gas $1.99. Nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. The
but correct. Again, he says these things to reporters and no one ever fact checks him because they want to keep their access open. Yeah. Well, this guy decided to fact check him in real time. Trump accompanied Jerome Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve, yesterday.
Yeah.
They are doing some upgrades to the Federal Reserve building. So Trump went with Powell yesterday to examine the site. We have a clip from that little exchange. Calvin, can we play that, please?
The overruns of the expenses, wanted to figure out why.
Yeah. So we're taking a look and it looks like it's about $3.1 billion. It went up a little bit, or a lot. So the 2.7 is now 3.1.
I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, it just came out.
Yeah, I haven't heard that from anybody.
That's Jerome Powell.
Yeah, it just came out.
He's got a piece of paper here. Trump.
Arno said it about 3.1 as well.
3.1.
Thanks, Tim. Big help.
From us?
Yes. I don't know who does that.
You're including the Martin renovation. You just added
our entire capital.
Yeah, you just added in a third building. Is what that is. It's a third building.
Well, no,
the
but it's a building that's being built.
No, it was built 5 years ago. We finished Martin 5 years ago.
It's part of the overall work.
But it's so it's not new.
It's not new.
So we're going to take a look.
Jerome Powell, will you be my new best friend? Because honestly, like, you need to watch the video because as soon as the president says $3.1 billion, his eyes just go like, excuse me, what? What happened? Like, hey,
wait,
what? What now? And just the disappointment when he goes, you added the Martin building. Like, just.
That was completed 5 years ago.
Yeah. It's tied to the pie of the toe of the old work. And man, hard hat off to Tim Scott for just always, no matter what happens, he will always back up the president. There's never like, I hate peanut butter and jelly. I hate peanut butter and jelly, too. It's terrible. It's the worst sandwich on earth.
But I have to wonder, so Jerome Powell and Donald President Trump are both wearing hard hats.
Yes.
Because it is a construction site.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Scott, who heads up this committee that is overseeing this construction, is not wearing a hard hat. Mm-hmm. And, like, they didn't care that much about Tim? Or what's up with that?
We only have two hard hats left, so sorry, Senator. It should be fine. But, yeah, it's just... We shouldn't be getting joy out of this, but my joy comes from the fact that someone had the nerve to stand up and say, no, you are wrong.
You are wrong.
And I have the information you need and correct yourself. Nope, we're going to take a look at it. And then he moves on. And I will guarantee you dollars to donuts as soon as the two men separated, wherever Donald Trump got flop sweat, anger, just because he hates being contradicted.
Well, he's never wrong, Greg. He said that. He is never wrong. So anyway, reporters, I don't know, look at that clip from time to time.
Yeah.
Just as a reminder, you can actually follow up with corrections. It's a crazy thought. I know. It's just cuckoo.
Ronnie and Horicon says, I've watched that clip 10 times, and the shot in front, I feel, is chef's kiss. Thank you very much, Ronnie, listening on WAUK.
Thanks, Ronnie. News is coming up next, and then we're coming back with Dan Schaefer for some recombobulation about the news here in Wisconsin and Governor Evers announcing he will not run for a third term. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. A deal on trade with the European Union.
They're agreeing to open up their countries to trade at zero tariff.
And, says President Trump, makes significant purchases of U.S. military equipment and U.S. energy. Things from the EU will still face 15% tariffs, half of what Trump was threatening originally without a deal. Since the U.S. tariffs on Canada, that country is embracing a Buy Canadian policy. At some stores, no American alcohol of any kind is on the shelves. The Gaza Emergency Relief Coordinator reports more than 100 truckloads of aid was collected today after some restrictions were lifted by the Israelis.
Fighting will stop there for 10 hours a day to allow for more aid to get to those civilians who so desperately need it. We also know the IDF has been conducting airdrops.
ABC's Ines de la Quintara, the IDF and the Prime Minister both say there is no starvation in the Gaza Strip. This is ABC News.
A thriller at the ballpark. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball game tied 2-2. Bottom of the ninth, the Brewers trying to avoid a sweep at home at the hands of the Miami Marlins. One out, full count, and Milwaukee's Blake Perkins at the plate on FanDuel, Wisconsin.
Blake Perkins, a switch hitter. He's up there with the bases loaded. The only run that matters at third right now. Perkins, center field.
Blake Perkins, who missed the first half of the season after suffering a fractured shin bone in spring training.
Definitely appreciative of the moment and of the success. You know, it's been a long, long road, and I don't feel like I'm way behind, but I do feel like this is the middle of the season for a lot of these guys, and I'm kind of coming in late. So it's just great to come through for the guys and just appreciating these moments a little bit more.
The Cubs beat the White Sox to remain tied with the Brewers, so it's the Cubs and the crew tomorrow night at American Family Field with sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Phineas and Ferb are coming back in 2026. Season 5 is currently on the air, but it's being called a revival. At Comic-Con last week in San Diego, the producers celebrated said revival of the Disney show, which launched 10 new episodes June 5th, and announced that the next batch of episodes will drop next year. Phineas and Ferb debuted in 2007, but went off the air in 2015. The USA Network has announced it has canceled Resident Alien, despite the show carving out a nice following over its four seasons. The announcement was made right before the season 4 finale last week. The sci-fi comedy is about an alien who is also a doctor in a small town and tries to conceal his identity. The show is based on a book of the same title. Executive producer Chris Sheridan says he wasn't totally caught off guard by the surprise, and for what it's worth, says the season 4 finale episode is his favorite of the whole series. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Could be a stray shower or thunderstorm overnight tonight. We'll see a low around 72. Hot and humid for Monday. Heat index pushes over 100. It'll be sunny in the afternoon. Slight chance of a shower or storm. Slight chances for storms Monday night, a low near 71.
Right now, 90 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba,
the founder of Wonderfully Wisconsin. He's been on the show before, but tonight he's here to make the popcorn pick of the week. Mr. Paul Vandenplas,
the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Oh my God, I love when people pick a movie I know nothing about.
A campy comedy buddy story, really just a heartwarming message.
Paul picked a movie that I've never heard of that gets excellent critic and audience reviews. Very well done, Mr. Wonderfully Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Corrine Hendrickson, you mentioned a conversation with Ron Johnson, Corrine, about the need for child care in Wisconsin. How did that go?
I said, why don't you think we should fund? And he goes, I think an elegant solution, it would be for moms like you to stay home so the other moms can go to work. And I said, well, and I shouldn't get paid for that? And he just kind of stared at us. And I said, that tells me all I need to know.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media News Director Shali Pittman will be joining us to break down all of the news that happened over the weekend. Nothing will happen. Join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, all together coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And don't forget, it is Free Ticket Friday. And these are good tickets for what's going to be a really good game. It's for next Wednesday afternoon, as the Brewers host the Cubs. You want to text in the word right now. Get your phone, open up the Civic Media app, and text in the word blue, B-L-U-E. You can't enter Dan Schaefer.
Every time. I'm going to try. Well, yeah, every time.
You're
going to
get rejected. Everyone else can enter, B-L-U-E. Text in the word blue. You have until 11 o'clock, and then you're in the running for that four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers Club level seats, really nice seats for next Wednesday's game against the Cubs. Again, we do ask that you're able to go to the game. Mm-hmm. If you're going to enter, we want to make sure those tickets get used because it's going to be a hot ticket. But the word is blue, B-L-U-E. You have until 11 o'clock. Text it in via the Civic Media app. Tom Hartman will have a different word for you from 11 to 2. Another one with Todd from 2 to 4 and Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. But the word right now is blue, B-L-U-E.
And you got to make sure the Brewers fans get those tickets. Because we know a lot of Cubs fans like to come to American Family Field for those games.
Got
to
make sure the Brewers.
So, you know, text blue and let us know you're a Brewers fan, too.
Well, we can check from where they're. We got Madison, Sean from Madison, and Gary in Appleton, and Ronnie in Horicon. So we're good. I haven't seen any Chicago's or anything.
Good.
No,
okay,
Northern
good.
Illinois are coming in.
Good.
Text in the word blue, B-L-U-E. Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor and also the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. Big news yesterday.
Yeah, what do you want to talk about today?
No, nothing. Let's just talk. Like Greg said, we're just going to talk recipes. I was surprised he didn't wait until today when Governor Evers announced yesterday that he is not going to run for a third term.
Yeah, you thought he was going to do like a Friday news
It would
dump
be a Friday dump,
like
right?
All of that.
You wait till 1 o'clock in the afternoon and then you go on your way.
Yeah, you know, it's obviously been the hot topic for the past few weeks. Evers Watch, hashtag Evers Watch.
Now you can go about vacation plans. You can do whatever you need to do. You don't have to worry about the news dropping while you're not available.
That's right. And it seemed like it was going to drop last week. I think they got spooked by the word getting out and a couple of different places reporting it, including John Mercure over at 620 WTMJ. And I think they got spooked by that, wanted to do things on their own terms, so waited a few more days and then made the announcement at high noon yesterday. Governor Evers and his team put out that video announcing that he would not be seeking a third term. So I think, you know, obviously a huge moment for Wisconsin. As you might imagine, it's a decision I agree with. You know, I wrote the piece about 6 weeks ago now arguing that Tony Evers should step aside and not run for a third term. And now that he has made that very decision, I got to commend the governor for a bold and courageous decision and selfless decision.
Yes.
Because I think some other folks in the same position could look at the landscape and say, hey, I might win again. You know, even if I'm, you know, 70, 73 years old right now, I could still win again. He's as somebody mentioned when we were on Todd Alba's show yesterday, he's undefeated as a statewide candidate.
Right.
Won three times.
Yeah.
As state superintendent, won twice as governor. So he's going out with an undefeated record as a statewide candidate, which is pretty impressive. But, you know, I think Tony Evers, so often the refrain that we've heard from him in as governor is, I'll always do the right thing for Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once again, in this decision, he's doing the right thing for Wisconsin. This is the right thing. This is the right decision to make. And I got to give props to him for it. And I think that it is a bold and selfless decision, and it is the right decision. It is time to pass the torch. It is time for a new generation of leaders in the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, by stepping aside, he's going to allow that next generation to take shape. And I think that's really important.
Well, and this was kind of evidenced even by his fundraising dollars.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't coming in with gobs and gobs and gobs of money, which normally by this point, I would imagine he'd have a pretty big war chest.
He's been a very good fundraiser.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he did not have a particularly good, I mean, compared to 4 years ago, compared to other candidates, it was still pretty good. But it was, you know, compared to 4 years ago when he had, I think, like $5 million raised in the same time period, it was like less than $1 million
yeah.
or something like that. So, you know, I think the writing was on the wall there. And I think the announcement seemed kind of inevitable from that. You know, you always got to follow the money instead of taking people at their word when it comes to politics.
Yeah.
And once we saw those dollars, it seems like things were headed in that direction. It had seemed like things were headed in that direction, really, since he signed the state budget in that weird marathon session
yeah.
that they had for him to sign it at 1:30 in the morning.
Right.
It seems like things have been heading in that direction since then. And then, yeah, just making the big announcement yesterday.
I think, well, luckily we have you for a little bit longer today, and we
yeah.
got a lot to talk about. And there's, first thing I want to do is I want to put the word out. I want to put the question out to everyone listening and watching on the live stream. How do you feel about this? Because going back to your article from weeks ago, there mm-hmm. was a lot of pushback from our listeners, from, you know, from the regular voters out there, from, you know, you took your arrows for putting out your opinion piece, by the way, it was mm-hmm. an opinion piece on the matter. But I would like to know, what do you think about Governor Evers' decision not to run for a third term? Are you excited? Are you nervous? I mean, I'm sure you could probably a combination of both, but 855-752-855-75-CIVIC to let us know, or text us on the app as well.
Yeah, if you want to yell at me on the air, go ahead. The lines are open.
Well, and the thing is I, you know, there are people out there, and then this is any party in politics where they will toe the party line. They'll say, Governor Evers is the best governor ever. He should seek a third term. Of course he's going to. And the moment he says, no, I won't be doing, Governor Evers is going to be the best governor ever. He's such a wonderful man for stepping down, and he's mm-hmm. brave and blah, blah, blah. So I just mm-hmm. kind of want to get a feeling for what people are going through right now as far as hearing the information on it. And the other thing too, you know, you said, well, you know, the notion of looking at a third term and saying, well, I could win this. But also, I think sometimes what politicians who honestly have a good altruistic heart will say something to the effect of themselves, well, I'm the one who can do this. You've reported before, I've just talked about it. He is consistently the most popular politician in Wisconsin. He's got good numbers. People like him. They trust him. So why wouldn't a man like that, who I believe has the best interests of Wisconsin, say, well, it's really tumultuous right now, and I don't want to, but I really don't know if anyone else can do it. I don't know if anyone else can win that seat besides me. And he didn't. He said, it's time for me to, and use your parlance, pass the torch.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I feel like there have been times that I've, you know, disagreed with Evers over the years, not major disagreements. And as I made in the argument in my piece, my issue with Evers running for a third term is not a policy disagreement. It's not an ideological differences. I have, by and large, agreed with a lot of what the governor has done
yeah.
in his 6+ years in office in Wisconsin. And I think throughout that time, he's had this North Star of doing the right thing mm-hmm. for Wisconsin. You know, one of the things that I covered very closely was the fight for new maps mm-hmm. last year.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of people at the time saying that the governor should not sign his own maps into law. and should wait and let the court decide because it might be a more advantageous map for Wisconsin. And I really thought, and I wrote a piece at the time saying I thought that the governor should sign the maps because it would be the right thing to do for Wisconsin. It is maps that were passed by the legislature, right, that he introduced, that he would sign, and not have, like, let's hold out for like a 2% better of an opportunity for maps that might be more advantageous for Democrats. That would not have been the right thing to do. He did the right thing there. He did the right thing in, you know, prioritizing addressing shared revenue, not a sexy campaign topic.
No,
but he went into re-election saying that, like, this is the most important thing I need to address is how we fund local communities in the state. And he was able to prioritize that and get stuff done. Get another four letter word done, as he would say, on the campaign trail. He likes to drop a couple things here and there. But I think he's had this really important North Star. And I think that North Star is shining once again in this decision because he's paving the way for leaders in Wisconsin and far beyond. It, not just in Wisconsin. We know what happens in Wisconsin has national ramifications. Mm-hmm. And I think this can be a message to Democrats of Tony Evers' generation to say that, like, it's time to embrace this generational shift moment that the party is having. It's time to embrace change. It's time to retire and step aside and let that change take hold.
If you're just joining us, Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor and also the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. We're talking about Governor Evers announcing his decision yesterday not to run for a third term. We have a couple comments on the live stream I wanted to share. Adam says, what? Dan Schaefer wanted Evers to step aside? I had no idea. Yuck, yuck, yuck. And Cassandra says, I agreed with Dan from the beginning. I think this is the best way for Dems to get complete control of the legislature and the governor's office. Thank you for those comments. You can also join us if you're watching in the live stream. Leave a comment there or text us at 855-752-4842. So now he's a lame duck for 17 months.
17 months, yeah.
So here's my question. Does he finally get to get all of his appointees appointed before he's done? The legislature has been sitting on 150 appointees for five and a half years.
Yeah.
For pity's sake, can we at least just appoint him now before they all have to get fired?
Yes, because Robin Voss is all of a sudden going to be like, you know what, guys, let's do this one for Tony.
I know, but it's just, geez, guys,
wouldn't it be so funny if it was like the final month of his time as governor, and that's when the, you know, the Republican-controlled state Senate went in and confirmed all those appointees to say that they did? I don't know.
Yeah. We love bipartisanship. By the way, your job lasts 48 hours.
Yeah, that's right.
Hope you enjoyed it. Isaac from Baraboo texting in, I would have cheered for Evers if he decided to run for a third term. I am grateful for his public service. I'm just worried there's not enough name recognition for another Democratic nominee. I believe Evers would have won again. I'm hoping the next Democrat runs a good campaign and gets the word out on social media, radio, podcasts, everywhere.
Well, and we are going to get into the discussion of who is already announced, who may announce, and the candidates for the Democratic primary. But I will say this. When Tony Evers ran for governor, he was the state superintendent, not the sexiest position, not the most well-known position. So it's up to the candidate to make that their goal to be known, and that's getting around the state, that's talking to the people, and really getting out there and doing that retail politics game, which is taxing, but it's very, very important.
855-752-4842. Gene from Eau Claire is here to yell at Dan Schaefer for at least 90 seconds. Good morning, Gene. Take it away. Thank you for joining us.
Wait a second. I'm not going to yell at
you. I'm teasing you.
Okay. Well, I did have some steam coming out of my ears. Well, I mean, I would like a day to grieve. I mean, this really impacts my side of the state, where we may not have the same judgments on future candidates as your side of the state.
Right.
Because we don't get information on it. We're like in a different place all by ourselves. Mm-hmm. People loved them, and people trust them. And that is the saddest thing of all in our time on the ocean with all kinds of currents and stormy things. We had a good captain to lead the vote or lead our country, our state. I mean, I'm watching all this stuff with Epstein. Let me tell you right now what's going on.
Yeah.
So anyhow, we need somebody that can lead, somebody mm-hmm. that's strong, that somebody trusts. And the biggest thing is trust right now, folks. And,
absolutely.
And we had that. So that's, I'm not picking on you, Dan. I love everything you say, but this one I had disagreed with you. So you guys have a great day.
You as well, Jeannie.
That's thank right. So we much. Can disagree without being disagreeable. So,
we
yes.
are coming up. We will be right back to continue this conversation with Dan Schaefer. Thank you, Gene. Really appreciate it. Join us at 855-752-4842. Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. We reported last fall that Maine voters approved ballot question 1, limiting contributions to super PACs spending money in state elections. It passed with massive voter support, but like the state's foreign influence ban, was ruled as likely unconstitutional. That's what organizers hoped would happen. The ballot question reads, do you want to set a $5,000 limit for giving to political action committees that spend money independently to support or defeat candidates for office? The act also required super PAC donors to be disclosed. A First Circuit Federal District Court ruled July 15th that both provisions violated free speech protections and pointed to the Citizens United, Buckley v. Vallejo, and other past U.S. Supreme Court decisions. Harvard Law professor Lawrence Lessig argues that large contributions to PACs risk quid pro quo corruption of supported candidates, even if a candidate isn't directly speaking with the super PAC. Elon Musk's America PAC and crypto industry super PAC's support of Donald Trump are recent examples. Lessig said in 2023, when the initiative was announced, that it was designed to force the U.S. Supreme Court to answer whether contributions to super PACs can be regulated by states in the same way state candidate contributions are limited. The case will next be appealed in the First Circuit, then could reach the U.S. Supreme Court in late 2026. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Whether it's day or night, hot flashes due to menopause can be unpredictable. That's why there's Veozah, a prescription treatment proven to reduce the number and severity of hot flashes day and night that can start working in as early as 1 week. Based on clinical studies measuring efficacy at 4 and 12 weeks, individual results may vary. Talk to your healthcare provider about what this may mean for you. For moderate to severe vasomotor symptoms or hot flashes and night sweats due to menopause, Veozah can cause serious side effects, including liver problems. Your doctor will do blood tests before and during treatment. Stop Veozah and call your doctor if you have symptoms of liver problems, such as feeling more tired than usual, decreased appetite, nausea, vomiting, itching, yellowing of the eyes or skin, pale stool, dark urine, or stomach pain. Don't use Veozah if you have cirrhosis, severe kidney problems, kidney failure, or take CYP1A2 inhibitors. Ask your doctor about Veozah. To learn more, call 1-866-239-1637 or go to Veozah.com. That's Veozah.com.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calvi on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Also, it is Free Ticket Friday. Grab your phone. Open up the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, you can do it right now. Download the Civic Media app wherever you get your apps. Look for Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. Download the Civic Media app. It is absolutely free. And text in the word Blue, B-L-U-E. Text in the word blue, and you are in the running for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets. Really good seats for next Wednesday's big game against the Chicago Cubs. We do ask that you're able to attend the game. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that someone's able to use these tickets because they're hot tickets. So text in the word blue until 11 o'clock, B-L-U-E, and you're in the running for those tickets. Tom Hartman will have a new word for you from 11 to 2. Todd with a different one from 2 to 4. And then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Right now, though, the word is blue, B-L-U-E, and good luck. Dan Schaefer is here. We are recombobulating. Also, with Civic Media's political editor about Governor Evers' announcement yesterday that he will not seek a third term. I thought his video making the announcement was so him. It was so
quintessential Evers.
It was so Oplander, which is what Greg and I used to call him way back in the day.
Yeah.
Because he's not a, he's a nice man. He's just a nice man. He's not a bloviator. He's not a look how great I am kind of guy. He is the ultimate Wisconsinite, I would say.
He's the mild-mannered former science teacher who's just talking to you like you're in his classroom.
Just so he's just so likable.
Yeah. And I think he has just embodied Wisconsin in so many ways in his time as governor. Just the folksy language, the, you know, the jazzed as hell, all of this, the malarkey, the, you know, holy mackerel and saying folks, you know, if you do a drinking game with every time Tony Evers says folks during a speech, you're not going to be standing at the end of it.
Annihilated.
I think that one of the things, though, of course, this is a very fresh announcement, and we're going to be talking about it more in the coming weeks and months. And before we know it, the election will be here. But I think that one of the topics that will be discussed greatly, because he's essentially going to be retiring from politics. I don't see him running for something else. He's not going to run for mega governor or for vice president or whatever.
No, just young enough to run for U.S. Senate.
But it's going to be the role of elder statesman of Wisconsin politics. And it's going to be I personally believe that people will see him in the same light. He, by Democrats, will be seen in the same light as Republicans see Tommy Thompson. And that comes with a lot of responsibility. It comes with a great deal of power. It will allow him to throw his weight behind the person who is running and convince people who need convincing. Because, as you stated before, Tony Evers is a very popular figure. He's a very popular politician in Wisconsin. Therefore, those individuals who might see other candidates might be a little bit, I'm not sure about that person. Tony can say, I trust them. You should trust them too. And I think he needs to do that. He has a responsibility to play that role, at least for the next couple years.
And you made the comparison to Tommy Thompson. In that sense, it's like, you know, Tommy Thompson, when he gets involved in these races, his endorsements still matter.
Yeah.
Like when he, you know, goes to visit with Trump, or he gets behind Tim Michaels, or, you know, he was at the RNC. I actually talked to Tommy Thompson for a brief moment after J.D. Vance's speech at the RNC last year. And he was talking to me how he really enjoyed that speech and working class focus for the Republican Party. And like that being, you know, so I think he being involved in the Republican side is you're right. I think that is a really interesting point to make, that Evers can be involved with that too on the Democratic side. And, you know, if we see something like, you know, he's making an endorsement in an assembly race or a Senate race or whatever that might be, that's going to be news. That's going to carry weight.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be really important too. He's also been a very good fundraiser. Like if, you know, he could still make some calls.
Absolutely.
And be a fundraiser there as well. But I think, you know, big picture too, I want to at least take a moment to just thank Tony Evers. I think we have a lot to be grateful for his time as governor, his years in public service, and his many accomplishments in office.
Absolutely.
And a job well done.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And when we look at states' recoveries after the COVID pandemic and say what you will about Governor Evers, Wisconsin fared a whole lot better than a majority of other states in this country because of the way Governor Evers handled COVID and the aftermath of COVID and where he directed the federal money, especially towards small businesses.
Yes.
Right. That was a crucial part of Wisconsin surviving as well as it did.
And that was obviously a big shift from where the focus for the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation was under Scott Walker. The focus was not on small business.
Right.
It was on, you know, luring the Foxcons of the world to try to come to Wisconsin. But yeah, you're right. I think he was a voice of sanity and stability at a time of genuine crisis.
Yep.
And I think people will not soon forget that. And with the recovery, with you know, helping dig out of the damage from Scott Walker's two terms as governor, defending the state's democracy as it's been under attack, you know, dealing with this obstructionist, hard right, Robin Voss-led, Republican-controlled legislature. He's battled a lot of headwinds as governor and has still managed to be a very successful governor. Again, I think a lot of it has been in playing defense, but defense is pretty important. And I think he's put the state in position to thrive in the years to come and to play some offense in the future.
And I think he's done it for all the people of Wisconsin, regardless of who they voted for.
He actually governed for the entire state. What a concept. We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Schaefer and talk about candidates now jumping in. Now that Governor Evers has announced he will not seek a third term, stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. Text in the word blue, B-L-U-E, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Despite the images of skin and bones, children desperate for food, Israel's prime minister says,
there is no policy of starvation in Gaza, and there is no starvation in Gaza.
He repeated,
there is no starvation in Gaza. No policy of starvation in Gaza.
Benjamin Netanyahu saying there is plenty of international aid getting in, but claims Hamas is looting it. With a handshake, President Trump and the European Commission's Ursula von der Leyen have agreed to a 15% tariff on most European goods, including cars, averting a trade war. ABC's Rachel Scott with the president in Scotland.
This is definitely a significant breakthrough because these two sides had these stalled negotiations for weeks, and you had the European Union that had actually already approved retaliation plans to tax up to like $100 billion in U.S. goods if those tariffs of 30% actually went through.
This is ABC News. People who